Welcome to Scripture Studies, a program of Bible study brought to you by the Central Church of Christ. And now, Ben Bailey.
Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you'll be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or one who lies at the top of the mast saying, "They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink?" Who has woe? Who has complaints? Who has problems? Who has wounds that you don't know where you got them from? He who lingers long at the wine. And look at the foolishness of this man. They struck me, but I didn't feel it. When can I wake that I may have another drink? That's the deplorable state that alcohol consumption leaves a person in. Your eyes see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things. You'll be out of your mind. And friend, if you're in that state, you can be sure the devil is having his way with you. The devil has you right where he wants you. And so we need to understand this is a real serious problem. But you know what? Alcohol has also done a lot to destroy families. Alcohol, when used in the family by father or mother, it is going to bring a curse and not a blessing to that family. How do we know that? Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 through 25. The Scripture says, "And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said," now watch this curse, "Curse be Canaan. A servant of servants he shall be to his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." And thus from this text, because Noah got drunk, because his moral standards were weakened, he allowed his nakedness to be uncovered by Canaan. And as a result, Canaan and his family were cursed. How many families have been cursed today because of the use of alcohol? How many fathers or mothers have ended up in prison and the family had to suffer over things like this? How many fathers have beat their mother, or mothers have abandoned their children because of the use of alcohol? How many little children have had to suffer because of some parent's alcohol consumption? Friends, I will guarantee you every time without fail, alcohol brings a curse, not a blessing to the family. Alcohol is destroying our families because alcohol weakens one's morals. As we mentioned, Genesis chapter 19 teaches the example of Lot and his two daughters. These people got involved in alcohol, and as a result, the daughters were allowed, they used alcohol on their father to cause him to do something that he naturally would not do. Listen to the words of Genesis chapter 19, beginning in verse 30. The Bible says, "Then Lot went up to Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him. And he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, 'Our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come into us, as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father.' So they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, 'Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. You go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father.' Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose." Now think about that. Here is Lot, great man who was considered to be righteous for his times. And for his daughters to do this, his morals had to be weakened. He had to get drunk. They knew that he would not do this regularly. He would not do this of sober mind. And so they said, let's get him drunk, and then let's do this. And the text says, he didn't know when they went out. He didn't know when they went in. He didn't know when they rose up and left out. He was in a state where his morals were weakened. How many young women have been in a state like this? Out on a date, have a few drinks. Next thing you know, you're in a relationship in some kind of intimacy that you didn't desire to be in. And before long, you've got a child on the way. How many children have been harmed because parents' weak morals were weakened? And thus, we need to understand that alcohol is destroying the family because it weakens a person's morals and causes them to do things that they naturally would not do. You know, alcohol always contributes to foolish choices when it's consumed as well. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 31 through 37 is the example of Nabal. Nabal was considered to be a great fool. And in 1 Samuel chapter 25, listen to the words that are penned about Nabal. The Bible says, Abigail went into Nabal, and there he was, holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And listen to this, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning. So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. Then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. This man was a fool. He made a decision out of drunkenness. He was in a state where he wasn't able to make good decisions. His wife used that situation, and as a result, he made a foolish, foolish choice. And friends, foolish choices are being made today by many who use alcohol. For example, think about the harm that has been done by those who make the foolish choice to get behind the wheel of a vehicle after being drunk. How many people's lives have been damaged because someone chose, even though they were in a drunk state, to get in a car, and as a result, they killed or harmed someone else. Maybe even innocent people who were just on their way home get hurt by foolish, foolish decisions like that. And so understand the harm that alcohol does to the family, how it destroys it. So what is the solution today? How can we keep from having an alcohol problem? Friend, there's only one way. Abstinence is the only solution in this alcohol problem. 1 Peter 2 verse 11 says this, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. There's only one way to deal with such a horrible problem as alcohol, all the problems that are related to it. We need to abstain. There is evidence within Scripture that a Christian ought never to drink. Social drinking is not something God approves of. Jesus did not make wine. And friends, after we study the evidence from Scripture, we ought to say with a loud voice, this is something we ought never to do. We ought to abstain from every form of evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 through 22. Now, what if someone has an alcohol problem? How do you deal with that? Well, you've got to realize that that problem is very serious and that it will cost you your eternal soul unless you change. Realize that such abuse of this kind of drug can harm your body, can harm relationships. It is not something to be taken very lightly. Realize that you've got to repent and stop doing that. Luke chapter 3 teaches us that repentance demands that we stop the sin. Certain people came out to John to be baptized because it seemed like the popular thing to do. And John said of these religious leaders, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And then he said this, you bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Friends, true repentance means that I bring forth fruit. That I am willing, if I've got a problem with alcohol, to say, look, this is not right in God's sight. I need to stop doing it. I'm going to repent, and starting right now, I'm not going to do it anymore. Now, that doesn't mean you might fall or you might fail. You may have problems along the way. But each time as you repent, you've got to say to yourself, this is not right, and I'm not going to do it, and I'm going to put that behind me. Seek help if you need to. There are good groups that can help you with these kind of problems, that can get a support group, and those who can be around you who also are trying to overcome problems and encourage one another. But most of all, turn to the Scriptures and turn to God in prayer. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. We need to let the Great Shepherd lead us, as in Psalm 23. And so the best advice is don't ever have anything to do with alcohol. Young people, hear me well. you're at an age in your life where people are going to tempt you to use this drug, you need to realize that if you get involved with it, it is going to ruin your Christian example. It is going to cause horrible consequences to come to you, and you're going to do things and you're going to say things that normally you wouldn't do. Don't have anything to do with alcohol. If you've got friends who do, find new friends. Friend, you need to make sure that the people you hang around with are those who will help you glorify God. And parents, be alert. Let's pick our head up out of the sand and realize that children do get involved in problems like these. Let's not act like it's not going on. Let's be aware. Let's be alert. Let's stay up when they come home from curfew. Let's make sure we know who they're hanging around with and where they've been, and let's make sure that those things aren't going on. So what if your children aren't happy that you've done that? You may prevent a very serious problem from occurring in their life. But friend, we want you to know today that if you've lived a life of sin, maybe a life that has had alcohol involved in it, you can still become a Christian. You can still become a child of God, be forgiven of all that sin, and go to heaven. To do that, you've got to believe that Jesus is God's Son. You've got to believe so much so that you're willing to change your life. True belief demands that I'm willing to repent. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31 says that God once overlooked these times of ignorance, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He has appointed a day in which He's going to judge the world in righteousness. I've got to repent because there's a judgment day coming. I must hear God's Word, believe, repent, and I've got to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans 10, verse 10. And yes, friend, you must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Then when you come up out of that water as a new creature, you've got to abstain. You've got to make sure that you don't fall back into that trap. And if you do, you need to pick yourself up and get back on the right road. And so may we realize the truth about alcohol is it's destructive, it's sinful, and a Christian should not ever be involved in it. May God help you to overcome alcohol problems in your life or any problem that may arise as we strive to live by the gospel of Christ.